Let them have it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Little double dip for me. What day is it again? Is it still Monday? Yeah, okay. So I did the Monday morning show, you know, while you were sleeping at 2 a.m. this morning, 2 to 5 a.m. And we started the show talking about the baseball from the weekend and the overreaction to the pitch clock and all that stuff, which we'll get into. But as of this moment, boy, this is weird. I feel like I haven't done a show in this time slot in, I don't know, forever. 7 p.m., there is a game a few blocks away about to tip off in a half hour. That is actually a big game. Figures, right? The one that I get to do 7 at midnight. There's a game on that I actually want to watch tonight. I want to watch the Knicks. Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we watch it together? We'll definitely talk about it afterward. But, you know, you just heard Ack mention Brown is going to be out for Boston. This is a huge game for the Knicks. How many times have those words been said on these airwaves in the last 25 years? This is a big game for the Knicks. Hard to believe, right? Pinch me, am I dreaming? Is this 1997? Knicks and Celtics at the Garden. And, you know, you look at the amount of games left here, where the Knicks are in the standings, the way that they've been playing since the All-Star break. This is one of those typical games where they'll just get pummeled and everybody will be, the Knicks suck. Forget it, let's move on. They're best, best a play-in team. But because of what the Nets did, trading KD and Kyrie, because of the way the Knicks have played here, mainly with Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle, and look, the addition of Hart has been great. The shortened rotation from Tibbs, that's old school Pat Riley stuff, something that I love and miss terribly. It's nice, even for a night, and the Knicks have a grueling schedule coming up. Right now, as we sit here, they are 3 games back of the Cavaliers for that 4th seed, and really, they're not going to be any better than that, and probably won't get to that 4th spot, but it is a possibility. But their schedule is daunting, beginning with tonight. And you, at least for the moment, have, as a Knicks fan, if you've stayed with this crappy franchise for all this time, you've earned the right to be excited about these next couple of nights. Celtics tonight, Nets, of course, on Wednesday, a Nets team that's actually beatable for this Knicks team now. This is a big one. If the Knicks could somehow win this game tonight, even without Jalen Brown, who cares? I don't care who's playing for the Celtics. Get the win. If they could somehow win this game tonight, I think the attention here, although this is a baseball town and we're getting excited about the Mets and Yankees, the attention will start to really be on this Knicks team and how far can they go? Not go in the playoffs, but how far can they climb up that ladder? Get to the 5th spot with the Nets. Maybe get to the Cavs, as we said, with that 4th seed. Knicks taking on, of course, Celtics tonight. Nets on Wednesday. Then travel to Miami on Friday. And then at Boston Sunday. That's a nice 4-game stretch here. Against teams, you know, obviously Boston twice, the top team in the Eastern Conference. And the 2 other teams that they're battling with for position in the NBA's Eastern Conference. This is an important 4-game stretch. You don't need to go over the whole schedule and look at the West Coast trip that's coming up, which is, you know, part of the daunting task that we talked about. I don't care who they're playing. Those West Coast trips never go well. No, and then even coming home, taking on Denver is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough stretch here to close out this season and hang on. And while I mention Jalen Brunson, who's been a star, he's the reason why there's hope. You forget about just the results of the record. Jalen Brunson actually gives you hope that something real can come of this. You know, Mitchell Robinson coming back healthy, but the X factor, it's a guy who had the big game last time out, or a big game last time out against the Pelicans, RJ Barrett. And I don't like Barrett as a player. I mean, personally, he seems like a nice guy, and I do love his work ethic. It's him as a player that's the problem. Everywhere else on this Knicks roster, you're getting almost exactly what you expected. Young guys have contributed a little bit when asked to do so. You know when Robinson's healthy, what he's going to bring to the table. Randall's been an all-star again this year, like he was a couple years ago. Jalen Brunson better than expected. I mean, that's how you have seasons like the Knicks are having, where you exceed expectations, where Brunson has exceeded many's expectation, except maybe the Knicks themselves. Brunson becoming a legitimate star player in this league at the point guard position, something the Knicks have not had Grimes contributing. Again, he's got to be more consistent, but still a young player with some potential. The addition of Hart has been huge. Emmanuel Quickley has been huge. It's R.J. Barrett. The inconsistencies, the struggles of R.J. Barrett, that to me is the X factor, the biggest issue with the Knicks. The potential of Barrett, if he plays at a high level like he did against New Orleans the other day, if he plays like that consistently to go along with what you're getting from Randall, what you're getting from Brunson, and what you're getting from Mitchell Robinson and Quentin Grimes and Hart, you know, the reserves, if you get a consistent top-level performance from R.J. Barrett, I don't think it's a stretch to say the Knicks could win a round and maybe be a competitive second-round team. I'm not going to get nuts here. And for the record, my opinion is different than what could happen. I do not think R.J. Barrett can be that player. He's shown it at times, which gives you hope he might be able to be that player consistently. I don't believe that he could be that player consistently. But if he could be that player consistently, then the Knicks can go to another level. Because right now, even with Barrett being inconsistent, you still figure they're going to be a 5 or 6 seed. Now, there's a big difference in that as well. You'd much rather play the Cavaliers. And doesn't it suck that it's the Cavs there with Donovan Mitchell? Imagine how we'd feel now. And I don't remember we don't know the specifics of why the Knicks turned down that deal. We heard the multiple reports. It wasn't Barrett that was the holdup of too many picks. So considering that the deal would have been R.J. Barrett as a potential centerpiece along with the picks, I mean, looking back, they probably regret the Knicks not doing that deal. Because if you could swap Barrett right now, who gives a crap about those picks? What are you going to do with them anyway? They're not going to be top picks. And you can't have, you know, a billion of them. Trade some of them. That's why the Knicks are stockpiling and have been stockpiling those assets, right? To trade them. They thought they had the leverage in the Cavalier or in the Donovan Mitchell talks. Turns out they didn't. He gets traded to the Cavs. And you look at what could have been, and I hate to look back, and you know what? I don't mind looking back, actually. You look back, though, at what could have been if they could swap right now on this roster R.J. Barrett for Donovan Mitchell. You'd do that a billion times out of a billion, and it would make the Knicks significantly better, potentially taking them to a legitimate 4 and one of the top teams. I mean, with a chance to potentially win a second-round matchup. That's the difference between Donovan Mitchell, an established, consistent superstar in the league, versus R.J. Barrett, a player that they drafted with potential, but also with major issues. I mean, when you draft a guard that can't shoot, you're drafting a 2-guard, number 3 overall. What's wrong with this picture? Drafting a shooting guard who can't shoot. Oh, is that all? No, wait, there's more. He actually, his strength is attacking the rim, but, oh, I like that. I love guys that can attack the rim, but what's the but? But he has issues shooting free throws. Oh, okay. So a shooting guard that can't shoot and a guy whose strength is attacking the rim but can't hit free throws. Well, I mean, I'm surprised he didn't go number 1 overall. But R.J. Barrett, to his credit, has worked hard year in, year out. He's improved until this year where there's been a clear regression. And it's maddening. It's maddening because he is not the final piece, but he's a piece that is holding this team back. If they got what they were supposed to get, look, to win the NBA, you need stars, right? Well, when you draft 3rd overall, it's got to be a star. You could talk about the Knicks getting unlucky in regards to they should have had the top pick that year and they don't. Zion off the board, and probably the Knicks would have taken Zion anyway, who I'd rather have than R.J. Barrett, don't get me wrong, but it's not like he's been some, you know, game-changing superstar for New Orleans, as good as they have been this year. Ja Morant was that player. That was the guy I wanted all along. You figured even if the Knicks, they would have gotten lucky by getting unlucky falling out of the top pick because they wouldn't have had a choice but to take Ja Morant. Even they couldn't have screwed that up, although looking back, maybe they would have drafted R.J. Barrett anyway. But Ja was the guy. Imagine how things would have changed if Ja Morant was drafted as we continue to look back. But present day, they have R.J. Barrett. And for them to get to that next level, the 3rd pick overall has to play like a star. There's no excuse not to. The problem is, as much as he works on his jumper, he's never going to be a good shooter. You could see it. He doesn't shoot with consistency. He doesn't shoot with confidence. Whether it's a three. I cringe. I cringe when R.J. Barrett shoots the basketball. That's not a good thing as a fan watching those games. You want to have confidence. And by the way, even if, you know, when Jalen Brunson pulls up and shoots, even if he's going to miss some shots, you still have confidence. Quentin Grimes, whatever, going back to the old days, Starks, not like he knocked down every three, but you felt confident, or at least I did, when he pulled up, even in the, you know, 2-for-18 game. You felt confident the next one was going down. With R.J. Barrett, cringe, wince, hold my breath, and it's ugly. You know, I kind of feel the same about Julius Randle, because Randle is not a three-point shooter, but Randle has proven that he could be certainly more consistent than R.J. Barrett. Now, with the arrival of Josh Hart, maybe that takes some of the, or the emergence of guys like Grimes and Quickley, that could take some of the, not pressure, maybe burden away from R.J. Barrett to where he doesn't have to do as much. But make no mistake about it, R.J. Barrett is holding this team back. And if he can build off of what he did against New Orleans and start to put together some consistent games like we've seen in the past, and maybe just turn a corner. I don't know what it's going to take for him. Look, forget shooting. Just attack the rim then. Work on the free throws. He's got to find some kind of strength here to help this team out. But a huge game at the world's most famous arena. And I had to open with that because that just doesn't happen often enough around here. I mean, we know the Rangers do their part or have done their part in recent years. But the Knicks, a big game for the Knicks at the Garden? If I wasn't working, maybe I'd go over there. Jaylen Brown, no Jaylen Brown, doesn't matter. A big game, two really big games for the Knicks. You want to expand it to the final stretch here. It's all important. We're in an otherwise meaningless regular season in the NBA, and I can't and haven't really gotten into the NBA's regular season in many years for obvious reasons. The Knicks have been irrelevant. 2 years ago was one of my favorite regular seasons in recent memory and maybe ever, where the Knicks kind of came out of nowhere and gave you something to watch every single night and finished with that top four, with that number four seed before losing to Atlanta in the first round. Then the disappointing year that followed, where all we were looking for was some kind of consistency. Didn't get it. It's disheartening. It's deflating. Randle completely fell off. And then this year, nobody really knew what to expect, and they've given you a season again. A season, a regular season with meaning for them. You want to talk about the Sixers or Bucks or Celtics, where you know those are going to be top teams regardless of where they finish. They're going to be top teams in the postseason. For the Knicks, this matters. Seeding matters. The difference between 5 and 6 could mean the difference between potentially getting to the second round, which, I mean, as you know, one playoff series win in the last, what, 25 years or so? Unacceptable. Anyway, big game at the Garden. We'll take your calls on it on the other side. 877-337-6666. We'll get into the baseball as well. I know the Knicks are going to tip off at 7:30, which is why I wanted to start with it now. And then, of course, we'll watch the game live together, if you so choose, and then talk about it afterward, whenever that game ends, around, what, 10 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock. So we'll keep an eye on that all night long. Get into the baseball stuff, as we said, as well. Whatever else is on your mind on this Monday night. 877-337-6666. Sal Licata on the Fan.